We put the Grand Hotel Harmony in place this morning. We join from the 118th Psalm. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the latter half of the 8th century before Christ, Isaiah sang a song to the people of Israel about a husbandman who cleared a grape and good field on the sunny side of a hill for a fine vineyard, where such as walls were constructed and a watchtower was erected. The finest quality vines were planted, but only sour grapes, stinking grapes, as they were called, them, grew on the vine. The owner was furious. He tore down the stone walls, he raised the watchtower, and the vineyard was decimated. The vineyard of which Isaiah sang was Israel, but the nation did not heed his warning, and God's chosen people continued to bring forth bad fruit. Several hundred years later, Jesus unfolded a similar narrative for the men of the Sanhedrin. When in the course of his story, Jesus revealed that the son of the owner of the vineyard was maliciously murdered by the workers in the field, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were outraged by the injustice to serve. Jesus, however, went on to point out that it would be these same Sadducees and Pharisees who would kill the Son, the true Son of God, and in so doing become the builders of whom our text speaks, who reject the stone. The poignancy of this text becomes even sharper when we realize that Israel might well have been lost to the four winds of the Babylonian captivity had it not been for the providence of God in the preserving of the remnant. In this instance, it is the Persians who seem to be the builders who reject the insignificant political stone of Israel, a small stone which God has nevertheless selected as the cornerstone of his love to the nation. Yet Israel continues to ignore God and remains the vineyard of sour fruit. The Jewish leaders, the workers of the field who would kill the son. To Israel, God was to give the cornerstone of his church, but Israel would reject that song. Even as Jesus spoke to the religious leaders of his day, he knew that the prophecy of Psalm 118 would be fulfilled in his own death. Those who were upset by the injustice of the master's parable were about to become the antagonists of the church. The Jews took inordinate pride in their worship. They gloried in their holy temple and sacrifices. Jesus was viewed as a stone which was unfit for their religious building. He disfigured their temple. He was a stone to be wasted. As one spits upon the stones along the roadway, so these Jewish leaders spat upon this precious stone, and they cast it down. But God has raised him up and set him as the cornerstone our text proclaims. The true church of God is formed not out of rituals nor regulations, but out of the Son and the gospel proclaimed in that Son. He has become the foundation of our faith and the cornerstone which bears the weight and gives direction to the walls of the church. A new and a glorious building now stands with him as its head. Not upon which is this building established, but upon the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, the stone accepted by the chief builder. It is the Lord's doing, our text proclaims. It is marvelous in our eyes. Rejoice, my brother, for we have been invited into the house of the Lord. We have been made the friends of God. Blessed are we indeed, for he has loved us with an everlasting love. If there is an imperative within this lesson, perhaps it is this, that we who go forth from this seminary to labor as workers in God's vineyard, building stone walls to protect the flock from the onslaught of Satan, and stone watchtowers to detect the encroachment of false doctrine, be vigilant, lest we in our eager desire to be architects, also and beyond, cast aside the chief stone. Rather, let us in humility, together with all the saints, continue to build up the church in the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. For upon this rock, as God promised to have his church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.